take a small break from our continuation through the first book of Kings today, and we take that break because our first reading, because we celebrate the memorial of St. Barnabas, and because of that, we take two small sections in the Acts of the Apostles, section from Acts chapter 11 and then 13. But first, just Barnabas, the word Barnabas means son of encouragement. So how would you like to be, you know, Barnabas's his name was Joseph. He was Joseph of Cyrus. So he was a Jew in Cyrus, and he was such an encourager that his nickname was Barnabas, son of encouragement. And so he was so much of an encourager that he ended up just becoming known as his nickname. Joseph, we don't even know him by Joseph of Cyrus. We know him by his nickname, son of encouragement. And I preached about 4 weeks ago on the importance of encouragement. So maybe go back and listen to that. I don't want to speak about encouragement today. I want to speak about Barnabas's humility and his trait of being self-effacing. If there was no Barnabas, there would be no St. Paul. Barnabas was the guy before Paul. I mean, Paul gets all the accolades, right? St. Paul, he wrote just about half the New Testament. But Barnabas was the guy before Paul was the guy. So we know the interaction between Paul and Barnabas. If we, you know, Paul had his great conversion. He was persecuting Christians. And then in Acts chapter 9, we have the conversion of Paul. Then right away, still in Acts chapter 9, Saul begins after his conversion, and he spends some time with Cornelius, I believe. And then he goes off and preaches in Damascus. He's increased in his strength. He calls up a disturbance amongst the Jews. He flees there. He escapes the Jews. And then Saul goes into Jerusalem. And even in Jerusalem, now he's dealing with his home team. Paul's a Christian now. The disciples in Jerusalem are like, we don't trust this guy. We're afraid of him. We know what he was doing elsewhere in persecuting Christians and killing them. He killed, or at least had a part in killing Stephen. So the Christians, the disciples, are scared of Paul. But who stands up for Paul? Barnabas, verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him under his wing. He vouched for Paul, Barnabas did. So Paul begins to preach again in Jerusalem. And Paul has a way of kind of causing a disturbance, right? And so they ended up shipping him to Tarsus. And we don't hear about Paul from that point on in Acts chapter 9 until when we hear the church gives us the reading for on this feast of St. Barnabas, chapter 11. There's no mention of Paul from Acts 9 to Acts 11. And we'd be like, oh, that's just a couple chapters, right? It was probably 10 years from Acts chapter 9 to Acts chapter 11. 10 years. We don't hear about Paul. We don't know what he was doing in Tarsus. But he got shipped to Tarsus. And here in Acts chapter 11, Barnabas is in Antioch. We heard about this reading during the Easter season. Barnabas encouraging the Christians up there in Antioch. And in verse 25, 26 today, we hear, and a large number of people was added to the Lord by the work of who? Barnabas. Barnabas is the guy. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Paul. So Barnabas' ministry in Antioch is so successful. Converts were everywhere. And somebody maybe less character than Barnabas will kind of just plan and set up shop there. He's the guy to receive the accolades. But what does Barnabas do? He says, you know what? You know who's better than me? You know who would do better here for these people? You know who's a better preacher? Who's a better leader? It's that guy, Paul, who's in Tarsus right now. We shipped off in Tarsus, that's been there for 7-10 years. So he leaves Antioch and looks for Paul and grabs Paul and brings him back to Antioch. If there was no Barnabas, there's no Paul. And the characteristic here is Barnabas' humility in him being self-effacing. And in order to make that move that Barnabas did for Paul, one has got to be so secure in their identity as a beloved son or as a beloved daughter of God, and realize and knows the unique gifts that God has given me, that he wants to use me, and I'm secure in those gifts that God's given me. And so the importance here for us is to recognize how we need to so much fight the ego within us. We need to fight our ego. We need to fight against any desire we have of wanting people to applaud me, of wanting people to recognize me and my achievements. So we want to rid ourselves of people like looking back and saying, man, you did an awesome job there. Barnabas fades into the background in Antioch. He fades into the background realizing Barnabas is now the guy. Not only in Antioch, but if Barnabas didn't make that move to go to Tarsus, like, look at what Paul has done. Paul's one of the top 10 influential people in the history of the world. Top 5. Because Barnabas was humble. And the thing about, I think, just the humility, and I mean, look at any aspect, whether it's, you know, in corporations, whether it's in the church, especially with leaders, the church, the corporations, at home, in school, it suffers when the leader does not have this characteristic. When they want to be the one to receive all the accolades. And we see this. I know Father Don jokes, you know, he mentions a lot of time, I tell Father Mark all the time, you must increase, I must decrease. Well, St. John the Baptist says of Jesus in John chapter 3. But that's true. That's in Father Don. There are countless associates in my class around associates, I'm not just talking Diocese of Joliet, but just throughout the country, where pastors, they stifle the gifts of the associate because they want to be the guy. They want the praise. They want the accolades. So I'm going to stifle you, whether you're an associate at a church, whether you're underneath me in a company, whether you're a sibling. That's in us to do that. We got to fight against the ego. We got to fight against the desire to be praised, to be the guy. Barnabas does that. And now there's Paul. But it takes a great amount of humility to be self-effacing, to slip out in the background. So might I encourage us to pray, you know, even Google the litany of humility, which I oftentimes turn back to. The lines in the litany of humility is just this, the litany of deliver me, Jesus, from the desire of being praised. Deliver me, Jesus, from the desire of being extolled, from the desire of being honored, from the desire of being praised, from the desire of being preferred to others. Help me desire, Lord, to be praised, for others to be praised more than me. Increase in me the desire, Lord, to have others be preferred more than me. Let us follow the example of Barnabas, who steps aside and fades into the background and allows someone else, whether that be a family member, a teammate at work, a teammate in sports, to flourish because we're humble enough to allow them to succeed.